Good morning, Trinity. We're glad you're each one of us, each and every one of you are here today. And we've got a couple of cards we want to make sure you fill out, so make sure to do that. We've got some of them that are due just before the three right after the three scripture readings, the one that would speak to any prayers you have. The other one's just to let us know you're here, so make sure and fill that out before the offering. So God's blessings. Please stand and welcome one another. We make our beginning today in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us now confess our sins unto God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean, that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart.
We have not loved our neighbors
as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his own mercy and grace, has given his own Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. In peace, then, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
for the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray together. Almighty God, you show mercy to your people in all their troubles. Grant us always to recognize your goodness. Give thanks for your compassion and praise your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading for today is from Ruth, the first chapter, beginning with the first verse. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons, the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the names of his two sons was Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephraites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These two Moabite women, or wives. The name of the one was Orpha, and the name of the other Ruth. They lived there for about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she rose with her daughter-in-laws to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughter-in-laws, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughter-in-laws, "Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband that night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait until they're grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "See, your daughter-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from 2 Timothy chapter 2. "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Shame and suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. If this is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops, think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound from chains as a criminal. But the word of the Lord is not bound. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they may also obtain the salvation that in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Lord, his mercy still endures.
according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he had said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest," as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Here ends the reading of our gospel.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be richly and abundantly poured out upon you this very special day. Well, we have had a full week of the immersed Bible readings for those of you who are taking part in that. And it's good that that has happened. We heard from a report from our Bible study class, the adult class, that it was a good, lively discussion. And we've heard also from other small groups that have been meeting throughout this week, some 8 of them, that the studies have gone well and that there's been good excitement as we shared in God's Word. Exactly what we'd hoped would happen, that the Spirit of God would stir in our hearts, speak to them, and we would learn together God's holy Word, and we would see how it applies to our life as we share it then with one another. Some of you may be doing that independently on your own, in your sight of your family, or just on your own. That is perfectly fine. This day, we're going to be hearing a message delivered on the first set of readings, Luke, the first gospel, the study content. But regardless of whether you've started or not, we have a message for you that is one that the Gospel of Luke conveys. It's a message that each of us need to hear. It's a message of hope, not just for one or two, but for all of us. Please pray with me. Lord and Savior Jesus, we ask this day that you would be present in our midst, that you'd speak through the words that you've given me, that you'd open the hearts and minds of the people that you've gathered today, and that you would help us to share it with the world beyond us, and to reach out and to share this good news with our fellow man. Lord, bless us, and as we ask questions and wonder, help us, like Theophilus and like the disciples themselves, to have our minds understanding and an opening of your Holy Spirit into our hearts so that we can understand these words. In Jesus' name, amen. There was a lot happening inside of the Christian church in the very early days of that church. The church was growing rapidly. In the Gospel of Luke, we hear that the church and the ministry of Christ and in the book of Acts, we hear that it was growing rapidly, so much so that we could say daily it was multiplying. Now, the Roman government was beginning to take a firmer stance against Christians. And within the Jewish community, there were beginning to become more and more Gentiles. And the Jewish people, some of them, were wondering, is this message also for the Jew, beyond those who are Jewish? One man, Theophilus, a high-ranking Roman official, was a believer. He embraced Christianity, but he wondered, is this for me since I earn a living from the Roman government? Since I'm not Jewish, can I be a part of this wonderful faith? Since I'm not Jewish by birth. Theophilus turned to physician Luke. And Luke would give him a detailed account in two different parts. One in the Gospel of Luke that talked about Jesus' life and ministry. And in the book of Acts, we would hear of the early Christian church and the early history and how the gospel would spread throughout the known world to include the Gentiles. It's important also to note that Luke and Acts were written for one person, Theophilus. But its message is truly for all the world, for each of us, for you, for me, inside of our homes. It's a message for all time of us to know God and how he wants to be in a personal relationship with each of us. Jesus is both King of the Jews and also the Savior of the world. Jesus came for all of us. He came and he welcomes and he receives each of us into a rich relationship with himself and with our fellow man. This good news is for you. And this good news covers approximately 1/4 of the entire gospel in the New Testament. So in other words, the study of Luke and Acts together covers about 1/4 of the entire New Testament. That's why it's so important as we start to look at this study. Because many of us are like Theophilus. In reality, we're asking the same questions. Am I excluded because I've done things wrong? Is this message too good to be true? Is it really a message from God to me? Am I excluded or can I be included? I would like to have us walk through the life of Jesus. And so we'll just share with you some of the things that occurred. And I begin with today by looking at Jesus' life and the angel's announcement to Mary before the birth of Christ. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was told by the angel, "You will give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus." Now, Jesus is the Old Testament equivalent to Joshua. And Joshua means God will save, or God saves, God delivers. And so is it any wonder why the angel chose those words from God himself? You shall name him Jesus because he will deliver. He will save. This Jesus will be very great, the angel told Mary. He will be called the Son of God, the Most High. An identifier that helps Theophilus and each of us understand that this Jesus is someone very, very special. He shall reign on King David. His kingdom will never end, as the prophets say. This Jesus was not only then the Son of God, but was also the Son of Man, of David's line. And his kingdom would be of power and authority. And in fact, would be so much so, David had died and come and gone, but Jesus' authority would never end. His kingdom would be forever. We next pick up the angel's words also that went to the shepherds at the birth of Jesus, where they are told, good news has come to you that will bring great joy to Jerusalem? No. To Bethlehem only? No, but certainly including them. The shepherds' words, or the shepherds heard the angel's words to say, I bring you good news of great joy to all people. Theophilus, do you hear what Luke is pointing out? This message is for all people, Jew and Gentile. It's for you and for me in 2019. This Jesus, this Messiah, The angel said, has been born today in the city of Bethlehem. Go and see the place, he told the angel or the shepherds. And then armies of angels appeared, praising God. Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to whom his favor God is pleased. You see, the glory of God was bringing this peace to come on earth. And it was all coming at the birth of Jesus, that one named Jesus who would deliver, who would save. Jesus dedicated at 8 days old at the temple of God. There was a prophet named Simeon who had been foretold and promised by God that you will see your Savior, the Savior of the world, before you die. And upon seeing Jesus at the temple in the arms of his mother Mary and Joseph, Simeon goes to this child and he says, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. For my eyes have seen the glory of thy salvation, which you've prepared for all people, a light to reveal God to the nations and the glory of your people, Israel. You see, this Savior sent to save us, was one who would bring salvation to the entire world. And God was revealing that glory not only to Simeon, but to all the nations, all the people of the earth. Jesus is the King of the Jews, is what Luke was telling Theophilus. He is the Savior of the world, your Savior and mine. Jesus baptized, you remember that? The heavens opened up, the dove lights down upon Jesus, and we hear thundering from heaven, from the Father's voice, you are my dearly beloved Son. And you bring me great joy. When we start to look at the things that were happening already at the birth of Jesus and now at the beginning of his ministry, what we see is that at this point, Jesus is being identified again as the Savior, as the Son of God. Theophilus, do you see? You can almost hear Luke asking Theophilus, underscore this one. This is the one I want you to see. And then Jesus at the synagogue, he reads the appointed scriptures for the day like you did, Norma. You appointed, those lessons were appointed for you to read on this LWML Sunday, and you read them so well, thank you. Jesus one day had that same privilege. He went to the synagogue and he stood up and he took the scroll and he opened the scroll and he read it. And this is what that scroll said. From the words of Isaiah, Jesus would hear and would read and share with the people these words. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who were oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the Jubilee year where all debts were forgiven. Can you imagine that? That'd be really good. Can't you imagine just getting that statement from Bank of America or Wells Fargo or whoever your mortgage holder is, and it says, paid in full. You'd say, well, that's good. I thought I had another 20 years or whatever. And yet you see that this has been forgiven. Jesus was saying something even more spectacular. This was God's Jubilee year, where all the debts of sin were to be forgiven and they were being fulfilled in Jesus. And then Jesus later says to those who are in the hearing, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus was saying, all of this is going to happen because I am the Savior who has come, the Messiah, the promised one. Now, there were a lot of questions, and people wondered. Theophilus wondered, is this Jesus the right one? But even John the Baptist, while he was imprisoned, sent his own disciples, and he asked this question of Jesus. Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for yet another? This is what Jesus responded. Go and tell John what you've seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up and the poor have good news preached to them. Jesus said, what do you see, John? These are the things the Messiah does. Take heart, John. I am the Messiah. I am the Joshua Jesus who is sent to seek and to save the lost. I am the Savior of the world, Theophilus. And for you and me who are wondering, Jesus, are you really there for me? Are you the Savior at this time, at this point in history? And the answer is emphatically yes. Now, Jesus would invite 12 people to join him into the innermost discipleships of that ministry team. He would call them to become fishers of men. He said, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. Those who will help me, he says, to establish a relationship with the world that I came to save. And he would tell those disciples and followers, he said, first consider the cost. Jesus has called us his disciples and into discipleship. Jesus warns us and says, consider the cost. One of the hardest lessons I had to look at and to learn and to try to come to grips with was the words that were used in the translation of immerse, the New Living Translation. I will read directly what it says. Hate everyone else, your father and mother, your wife, your children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. Hate. Jesus uses this strong word, hate, to emphasize the importance of being a follower or a disciple of Christ. He wants us to be all in, to understand that the value of our relationship with our parents and with our wife and our children, our brothers and our sisters, so valuable. But when Jesus is using here as a hyperbole for us to really understand the greater value of even all of those big things in our life, to come to a place where we understand that is of much more importance and greater value that we are in a relationship with Jesus Christ as the Lord of our life than it is for us to love our own life more, or our spouse, our children, our moms, our dads. He uses a comparison, and for us to understand that we are truly unable to do that, are we not? Truly to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. We are helplessly and hopelessly unable to satisfy this, the first command of God. And we see how we are totally condemned from the start. But you hear what Jesus would finally start to talk about as we look in the Gospel of Luke. Here we see that for the joy set before him, the very week before he would be crucified, Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem. His eyes were focused. His steps took that path. There was no deviating. And Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem, knowing that there he would be handed over to be flogged, condemned, and crucified. And that on the third day he would rise again from death to life. Let me repeat those words. For the joy sat before him. That wouldn't be a week I'd want to go through. Pretty difficult. But the joy was that Jesus saw this as God's rescue plan. Jesus understood that this was the only way that humanity could be saved. That you and I, Theophilus, and all of us would have our question of, are you the Messiah? Are you the one we should put our hope in? Are you, Jesus, going to be able to do, carry out this mission of saving the world? You see, God's rescue plan at Calvary's cross unfolded. Here at Calvary's cross, we are received, or we are restored. Here we see God's rescue plan unveiled. At Calvary's cross, we start to see what God would have to go through to pay for that price of our sins. Because the Bible tells us Without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness. And God doesn't accept gold or silver or MasterCard or Visa. The only payment was the blood of his own son, Jesus, the Savior, who had come to be that Savior, to deliver like Joshua, that Savior who had come to seek and to save us. We now start to see that God's rescue plan was fulfilled at Calvary's cross. But some will still wonder and say, how do we know that that paid the price in full? It's called Easter. And Easter is the time where Luke records that on the third day, Jesus did rise again from the dead. And he was seen by the women who had gone to the tomb to bury him. He was seen by the soldiers who had been guarding him, who were standing there shaking in fear because the tomb was empty. He was seen to have talked with angels, and angels talking with the women and those who came to see the empty tomb. And no one knew any other explanation other than the one Jesus gave them before he was crucified, before he was condemned. The Son of Man must suffer many things, he said. He will be killed and will be crucified, and on the third day he will rise again from the dead. You will see him. And they did see him. On Easter, Jesus appeared to the disciples. He appeared to the women. He appeared to the Emmaus disciples. And then he went back that evening to talk with the disciples and to show and to demonstrate that he was alive. And they said, not knowing what to do, he said, put your fingers in my hand and my hand into my side. He told Thomas, who had doubted 7 days later, Jesus is alive. The size of our sins, no matter how large or small, have been paid for. Jesus' death on the cross paid in his sufficient price, paid for all of God's demands of holiness. And you and I stand before the judgment seat with the blood of Christ in the robe of righteousness of our baptism, and we can be certain that that price is paid in full. Not because of what we've done, but all because of what he, Jesus, has done. To Theophilus and all who wonder, can God really forgive me? Can I really be certain of God's love? The answer is emphatically yes. For another man who had condemned and tried to kill the Christian church as it was just beginning, a man named Paul, who had another name, Saul. He would lead men and women to trial, and there they would be sentenced for nothing more than their faith in Jesus Christ. And when he became convinced by an encounter with Jesus Christ as the living Lord, on the road to Damascus, Paul pens these words. He said, it is a trustworthy and a true statement, deserving full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came to save sinners. And Paul says, of whom I am foremost. I don't know your heart. I don't know the size of your sin or the smallness of your faith. All I know is that Jesus came for you. He came to speak to your heart today. And for you to find the answer to that question, did Jesus come for me? Can I be his child? Can I be certain that if I died today, I would spend eternity with him? And if so, why? John answers that question in his gospel at the very end or near the end. These things have been written so that you can be certain that Jesus is the Christ, and that by believing, trusting in his name, you can be certain that you have eternal life. In his name. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand. Please join me in the confession of our faith, the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, not made, one substance, who
for us sin, for our salvation,
came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Lord and Savior Jesus, as the people of God, we come together to approach your throne of mercy and grace. We thank you, Lord, that you have revealed unto us through such as the apostles who wrote the Gospels and the prophets who gave us the Old Testament and New. We thank you for their testimony that has been granted to us so that our questions, like Theophilus's, can be answered. We thank you, Lord, for we do know and understand that your word is true and is living, that is able to be that power which you use to bring us to faith and to keep us in this faith. It is a light to our path. O Lord, may we continue our study in it, and may we be blessed by it. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we ask this day that you would also bless our teachers of the Immerse as they study in groups and formations in the homes, here at church, and throughout this community. May your good news be spread as we are learning together your wondrous word. Help us to share this word not only with one another in the study, but also inside of our homes, at our workplace, in our schools, in our places of commerce, and in our everyday life. Lord, in your mercy, help us, O Lord, to be people of the faith and to live it out on a daily basis. Lord, in your mercy. And now, O Lord, hear the prayers that have been requested this day.
Lord, the congregation lifts up the following prayers. Celebrating a happy 72nd birthday for Ray, Jennifer's father. Also pray for healing and comfort for Karen from cancer complications, who's in the hospital right now. Pray for, I believe it's Helen. Could be Helene. Sorry if I'm saying it wrong. Prayers for her that she's well. We also pray for David Knight, healing from surgery. Lord, in your mercy.
Lord, these and all other prayers that are upon our hearts and minds, may you bring your answer and your healing and your blessing to each and every one. Amen. You may be seated. We now gather the offerings unto the Lord.
People filled with care, headed who knows Jesus, hear. We are called to take His light to a world where wrong seems right. What could be too great a cost for sharing life with one who's lost? Through His love our hearts can feel all the grief they bear. They must hear the words of life, only we can share. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize people need the Lord?
With you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is right to give Him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, for what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world. You have made known to the nations in your Son. In Him, being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had broken it and given thanks, he gave it unto his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body, which is given unto death for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, in the same manner, he also took the cup, and when he had supped, he gave thanks, and he gave it unto his disciples, saying, Take and drink ye all of it, for this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is given and is shed for you for the remission of all your sins. As oft as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Thank you.
Receive now the benediction of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. And now may the Lord bless thee and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring you his peace. Amen. You may be seated.
Don't walk as fast as I once did. I have a few announcements up here. Well, you probably already figured out this Sunday is LWML Sunday. We had fine reading from Mrs. Smith, and we see many other signs here. So, Lutheran Women's Missionary League is the official women's auxiliary of the Lutheran Church, the Missouri Synod. For over 77 years, LWML has focused on affirming each woman's relationship with God, encouraging and equipping women to live out lives, their Christian lives and active mission ministries to support global missions. Almost seems like I shouldn't be the one reading this, but happy to read it. The mission of Lutheran Women's Missionary League is to assist each woman of the Lutheran Church. Sounds like it's repeated here. I'll read it anyway, just in case there's something I didn't miss, or did miss. Affirming her relationship with the triune God so that she is enabled to use her gifts in ministry to the people of the world. And their mission is to be the leading group for LCMS women, where each woman is welcomed and encouraged to use her unique gifts given by God as she supports global missions and serves the Lord with gladness. Please notice these quilts that are displayed tied by LWML quilters to be sent across the collections are ongoing. Sent across, I guess the globe was a missing word, I think, here. Collections are ongoing this month for individually packaged bath soap for those in need as well. Thank you for that. All are welcome to be part of the LWML functions, quilting and more. Contact Mary Lou Evan Check. Details are in the Triune Weekly. I believe the next slide is we have collections for Operation Christmas Child. It has already begun. Join us by collecting gifts and packaging them in boxes for Operation Christmas Child to bless children in need over the world. There's a collection bin in the narthex and boxes that look like shoe boxes to package the gifts in. I believe there's instructions on how to do that. The items will be used at our Oktoberfest festival. We'll be doing that there. We're collecting at Oktoberfest Festival, where we will pack all the boxes for shipping. You can also take a box home for a small group or for your office to collect and pack a shoebox on your own. This is a great opportunity to participate in an outreach effort that will literally reach thousands of children in need in the world. There's donation details in the Triune Weekly. And the next slide, I know you haven't missed it on the way in. I know my daughter couldn't miss it. The pumpkin patch sales are going on now. So please look around, buy one or more pumpkins, help support Trinity Lutheran Church and School. Our downtown pumpkin patch is run by the Child Development Center's PTL, and it's now open. Buy your pumpkins. It's convenient and it supports the ministries I mentioned. Check the Triune Weekly for the hours of operation each day out there. Two more announcements here. Annual Oktoberfest Festival is Friday, October 25th from 5 to 8 p.m. Great food, live music, games, and more. Save that date. I believe we have food trucks here a lot of times. Hoping that Chicago Philly truck is one of them again. And then last but not least, the announcement is about the Immersed Bible Reading Experience, which the sermons are going to be based on for a while now. And I believe there's a video with this that hopefully will work with sound this time.
It's crashed before, so it's not a personal thing with you. I think it just doesn't like anyone. There you go. Good.
In his first book, Luke carefully recounted the story of Jesus, assuring his friend Theophilus in the heart of Rome that he could rely on what he'd been told. But a second, perhaps a more troubling question lingered. Was this story even for the likes of him? Theophilus was a Gentile. Jesus was a Jew. Not everyone welcomed the inclusion of Gentiles into the community of Jesus' followers. This question, whether to welcome Gentiles and under what conditions, was the defining issue for the earliest followers of Jesus. It hung in the air at their gatherings. It filled countless hours of debate. Much of the New Testament itself was occupied with this question, and that includes Luke's second volume, written to his friend Theophilus. The book of Acts tells the story of the early church, how the message about Jesus spread out from Jerusalem across the Roman Empire, ultimately to Rome itself, where it reached Theophilus. In Luke's first volume, the story moves toward Jerusalem as Jesus makes his way to the center of Jewish life in order to lay down his life for the world. In Acts, the story progresses out from Jerusalem as the message about Jesus crashes through one barrier after another. First, at Pentecost, a key language barrier is demolished when Aramaic-speaking followers of Jesus welcome Greek speakers into their midst. Next, a regional barrier is broken when persecution forces believers from Jerusalem into neighboring territories. Then, a major religious and ethnic barrier comes crashing down as Gentiles begin putting their faith in a Jewish Messiah, and a mostly Jewish church debates whether to welcome them. A key figure in this debate is a man named Paul. Once an adversary of the church, Paul has a dramatic encounter with the risen Jesus, who gives him a new identity and a radical new mission: to be an apostle to the Gentiles. Paul travels far and wide, taking the message about Jesus into modern-day Turkey, then Greece, and finally to Rome. As each barrier comes crashing down, Luke emphasizes two things. One, this is not the work of human hands. This is God's Spirit on the move. And two, more and more people are experiencing new life as a result.
God's blessings, and I hope you will be a part of our Immerse studies. It's not too late to get started. And if you need a book, please let me know afterwards. God's richest blessings on your week ahead. And these are the stories you will be reading next week. But blessings on our closing hymn. Please stand and join us. Go in peace and serve the Lord with joy.